Let's turn this morning to Micah 5, page 926, called one of the minor prophets, not because they were less important than the major ones, but because their writings are shorter than Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, the four major prophets. Moving forward from the book of Ruth to another prophecy about Bethlehem Ephrathah, that plot of ground where the gospel is going to come to earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Micah 5, we'll be looking especially at verses 1 through 5a this morning as our text, or 2 through 5a. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brother shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land and treads in our palaces, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men. They shall shepherd the land of Assyria with the sword and the land of Nimrod at its entrances, and he shall deliver us from the Assyrian when he comes into our land and treads within our border. Then the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many peoples like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which delay not for a man nor wait for the children of man. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the nations in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of sheep, which when it goes through, treads down and tears in pieces, and there is none to deliver. Your hand shall be lifted up over your adversaries, and all your enemies shall be cut off. And in that day, declares the Lord, I will cut off your horses from among you, and will destroy your chariots, and I will cut off the cities of your land, and throw down all your strongholds, and I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you shall have no more tellers of fortunes, and I will cut off your carved images and your pillars from among you, and you shall bow down no more to the work of your hands, and I will root out your Asherah images from among you, and destroy your cities, and in anger and wrath I will execute vengeance on the nations that did not obey. This is God's word. Congregation, may he bless this to our hearts and lives and increase our hope. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the name Micah, do you know what it means? Micah? It means who is like God. Who is like God? And the whole point of the book of Micah is when there is no life left in Israel, and she's overcome with idolatry and violence and corruption, and judgment is falling upon her, who is like God to do a miracle? Who is like God to raise up hope? There's no one like him. He's matchless. He's the God who does the unlikely. He's the God who does the impossible. And that's the message Micah was sent to proclaim to Israel and Judah. When all the doors are closed and the systems are broken and every treatment has been exhausted and you're at an unbreakable wall and at a dead end, who is like God to break through that wall and raise the dead and give a new start? And that's the way the book closes, with good news at the end of Micah 7. We'll look at that in a moment, Lord willing. But who is a God like you? And we move from Ruth, the book of Ruth, where God has arranged that through a Redeemer, a plot of ground called Bethlehem Ephrathah will be reserved from getting lost from Elimelech's family and brought into the family of David. It's an amazing story, God's love for Ruth and Naomi and for Israel. So a plot of land called Bethlehem Ephrathah gets rescued by God, redeemed and brought into the family of David. And now in Micah we see a ruler is going to come up from this plot of ground. the shepherd, the Messiah. That's what we look at this morning. The shepherd comes from Bethlehem Ephrathah. An unlikely place for rescue to come from. An unlikely strength in him to rescue such a broken people. And an unlikely peace that he brings in a world filled with hatred and anger, such as our world is today. He is your peace. The shepherd comes from Bethlehem Ephrathah, an unlikely place and origin of this ruler and shepherd. When no help is in sight, who is like God to do something surprising and amazing when everything's dark and the door is nailed shut and the stump of tree of Jesse is cut down and left to be a stump? Look at verse 1 of Micah 5. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. Almost like taunting the people of Jerusalem. Assyria has swept over the northern 10 tribes, decimated them, destroyed them. And now Sennacherib has come all the way to Jerusalem and surrounded it with hordes of armies, and there's no way out. So when he says, muster your troops, he's basically proving to them the impossibility of their situation. With a rod, they strike the judge, the king of Israel. Your power is broken. These are the days when the Lord is taking his people to court. Micah is a court case. He gives them a prophetic subpoena. Appear before me in court, and I will testify against you. And he gives the book of Micah, shows a bunch of the problems in the church of the Old Testament. They've set up false gods to worship them and cult prostitutes alongside them to guarantee prosperity. They lay awake on their beds at night planning injustice, how to take advantage of the poor and the weak. They prowl around looking to repossess the farms and the houses of those who aren't able to make their payments. What will benefit us? Trying to take advantage, exploit the poor. They hide in the ditches, and when somebody passes by, they mug them and grab their robes and their wallets. And they love to go to church, but they want sermons, says Micah, about beer and wine. Sermons about beer and wine, because they don't want to hear the truth. The leaders and the people together are engaged in bribery and oppression. They profess faith in God, but they have no desire to love their neighbor. It's a mess. It's broken. And the Lord is punishing his people. He has sent Assyria. And Assyria is on the march. And eventually, both Israel and Judah will be like a plowed field. He's going to send Assyria away from Jerusalem this time. But later, Babylon will come and Zion will be like a plowed field. Chapter 3, verse 12. And the people, both the north and the south, will go into exile. That's what's on the horizon for Israel. But, says verse 2, who is like God to do something amazing when no hope is left? Who is like God to do something when my sins have so devastated me and others? There is no place for rescue from God's judgment. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who's to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. From a very unlikely place, Bethlehem Ephrathah is going to produce a ruler who does amazing things in Israel to the ends of the earth. And Bethlehem Ephrathah is too little to be among the clans of Judah. When you go through Joshua, and the territory of Judah is assigned by the Lord, and the cities are assigned, it's too little. Bethlehem Ephrathah is too little to be named. It's not found. It's such a no-name town. It's a place of sorrow. That's where Rachel died, giving birth to Benjamin. And that's where her grave was. What hope is there in that? Who is like God to do something like this? Only God can raise a ruler from Bethlehem Ephrathah. Notice something else about this ruler. His coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Really, the word is from everlasting, from forever. This ruler who's going to rise up from that unlikely place, Bethlehem Ephrathah, is a forever guy. He's a forever person. He's divine. He's eternal. He's God. Yet, says verse 3, he's also born of a woman. Therefore, he, God, shall give them up, Israel, up. He shall let them go into captivity, be taken over by foreigners. First Israel in 722 by Assyria. Then Judah in 586 by Babylon. A few will return in 538, but basically the Israelites are scattered. But then will come the time when she who is in labor has given birth. And then the rest of his brother shall return to the people of Israel. When she who is in labor has given birth. Who is that? Given birth to whom? And he shall stand and shepherd his flock. When she who is in labor has given birth to the one who will stand and shepherd his flock, the ruler that's coming from Bethlehem Ephrathah, that's the one she's going to give birth to. Wait. I thought this person, this ruler, coming from Bethlehem Ephrathah, is from ancient days, or is forever, is everlasting. And now you're saying there's a woman that's going to give birth to him. She's going to give birth to a baby who's older than she is. Does that make sense to you? She's going to give birth to somebody who is forever. And that's the mystery of the virgin birth, of the way the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down from heaven through the womb of a virgin and became a baby. God became flesh. The eternal one is also the little one, the baby, born in a manger in Bethlehem Ephrathah. Time and eternity are coming together in one person. Who is like God to perform a miracle like this so that the dead can be raised and the hopeless can have hope again and tragedy can become victory? Oh, take time, brothers and sisters, to stand amazed at the message of Christmas. Who is like God? Micah, who is like God? Comes forth from eternity to enter the world as a baby in a little town too little to be listed among the clans of Judah, so mighty and so humble, coming to a nation that's in court. It's under the death sentence of God. And while God pronounces judgment in this book, at the same time he promises a ruler that will come to the rescue. That's our God. Justice and mercy embrace each other in this God and in the book of Micah and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How silently the wondrous gift is given, we'll sing. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming. But in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. And what Naomi experiences in her own life, a Redeemer who rescues her from being cut off when all hope is gone and the name of her husband is dead and her inheritance in the covenant is cut off. God raises up an Obed. But that Obed is just a type of the ultimate Redeemer coming from Bethlehem Ephrathah, who through Obed, or a region of land that through Obed was brought into the royal line of David. It's an amazing story. The story of the amazing God who does impossible things for a lost people like you and me. We see, secondly, an unlikely strength in this little baby from Bethlehem Ephrathah, this little town that's too small to be listed in the book of Joshua. Look at what he'll do. Therefore, verse 3, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers, this ruler who's everlasting, comes to earth as a baby and now is our brother. That's good news. I'm with you, Emmanuel. I'm one of you. You're my family. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And that's what he accomplishes. He comes. And the day of Pentecost,
people come from the diaspora, from Israel and Judah, and they're together in Jerusalem. And by the thousands, they turn to the Lord. And he's gathering his brothers together among the Jews, and then that will spread to the Gentiles. But verse 4, especially, he shall stand. He shall stand. And we need to stop at that word. He shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty in the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. He shall stand. That's a wonderful word. It means he's going to take a stand in the midst of this fallen world as a man of action. He shall stand means action. He's coming to do something about the miseries of this world. He's coming to stand in the midst of his very own people. Coming to his own who have gone astray, who have turned to their own ways, who are full of violence and gossip and telling lies and defrauding their neighbors and taking advantage of the poor. In one spot, Micah describes them as cannibals. Israel's leaders and people have become like a bunch of cannibals. They skin the people, then they pick off the flesh, they boil it, and they eat it. It's symbolic just of how they're treating each other, taking advantage of each other. People trampling on people just to get ahead themselves. Taking advantage of the poor, beating up on the weak, husbands and wives being unfaithful to each other, Micah refers to. Rulers following the money, church rulers. And he's going to come in the midst of that and take his stand, take action. In the place where we're under God's judgment and sentenced to death. And enemies have surrounded us to trample us and devastate us and leave us desolate. He will take his stand. Even in a broken world, there is hope. Not in us, but in our God who sends help, who sends a shepherd, who sent his son, who's both eternal yet born of a woman. To take his stand, it says then next, as a shepherd. He shall stand and shepherd. He's a ruler. This Messiah born in Bethlehem Ephrathah. He's a ruler who feeds, leads, and cares for his lost and rebellious sheep. I'm reminded of the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 40 verses 10 and 11. Listen to this prophecy of Jesus. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, takes a stand, right? And his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. Might. And then listen to the next verse. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. Mercy. Toughness, tenderness. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. What a magnificent mixture of might and mercy. And that's the kind of king we need and the whole world needs. That's the kind of help I need. Lost as I am in my sin and misery, worthy of death and hell as I am under God's judgment, I need somebody who will take a stand with me as a shepherd who cares for me. And so what did this man of action do, this ruler from Bethlehem Ephrathah? The New Testament tells us the rest of the story. He came to lay down his life for the sheep. He came to do especially two things, to live before God the perfect life that I did not live, that we did not live. That life of loving God and neighbor. That life of justice and righteousness. One of our favorite verses in Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And Micah's saying, who is like God when we cannot produce this life of what is good? The good God has shown us. He sends the Lord Jesus Christ to live this life for us. What a blessing. The shepherd comes from Bethlehem Ephrathah to take his stand in our midst to live the good life we did not live and could not live because of our sin. And to offer that good life to God in our place. So when I trust in Jesus, Jesus gives me his good life and says, I make that yours. And now I can stand as a good person before God in Jesus, the good one, who lived that good life of loving or doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God. There is Jesus. But he also came not just to live our life for us, but die our death for us. To come under the siege of God's wrath and God's enemies and stand in the breach and take our judgment upon himself. Because like Israel, we're on death row for our sins. We're God's enemies. He's terribly angry with us for the way we've turned our backs on him, the way we've turned our backs on one another, on our neighbor, the way we've hated God and hated one another. But even while we were under judgment, God loved us so much, he sent his son to earth to stand in our midst and in our judgment and take our sin and punishment and death upon himself and give his life as an offering for sin. He lived our life for us. He died our death for us. That's our ruler, our Messiah, who took his stand in our midst and shepherded us. Who is like our God? And if you just turn with me for a moment, one page forward to Micah 7. Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love, grace and truth. Oh, those two words. You will show grace and truth to Jacob as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Who is a God like you? Verse 18. Meaning of the name Micah. Bringing forgiveness. Trampling our sins under his feet so we could be forgiven. We can break through the wall of judgment. We can be set free. Who is like our God who sent his son to accomplish God's justice and mercy in the cross? There's none like him. He's the shepherd we need. And in him the sheep will dwell securely. You can live and die in safety when such a shepherd stands in your midst to pay for your sins and carry you all the way to God and to glory. And the beautiful thing, congregation, is where this shepherd is found. You don't have to go to the halls of power, and you don't have to go to the cultural elite, and you don't have to go to the religiously powerful where you need a special pass to get in and be considered worthy of having him as your shepherd. You just need to go to Bethlehem where there's no closed doors and where you don't need to get a special pass because it's such a humble place, so lowly, so that even shepherds, the lowly shepherds, get to be the first ones to have access to this shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem Ephrathah. And the wise men then come from the east some days later because they've seen a star. And that points them to a ruler, a king of the Jews. And they go to the obvious place, Jerusalem, the capital city, the halls of power. And they look for him. And Herod says to the priests, go find out where this king's going to be born. They consult the Old Testament. They find Micah 5 verse 2, Bethlehem Ephrathah. And they say to the wise men, go to Bethlehem Ephrathah. They leave Jerusalem, the halls of power, and they go to Bethlehem Ephrathah. And there they find the Lord Jesus Christ and they worship him. Lowly Jews, expert Gentiles, meeting the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. And that's where we find him, in Bethlehem, not in a palace of glory, but later in a cross of shame. And that's where your salvation has appeared, in this shepherd who became your sin and your shame on the cursed cross. And if you want to be saved, if you want to break through the wall of hopelessness, you must come to the one who broke through that wall ahead of you to stand in your midst, in your shoes, to save you from the punishment, the siege, the destruction that you deserve and that I deserve. Well, let's see thirdly that he creates an unlikely shalom. And he shall be their peace. They shall dwell secure, verse 4b. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. He's the savior of the world. And he shall be their shalom. And when the Assyrian comes into our land and treads in our palaces, we shall raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princes. It's a prophecy of the going out of the gospel. And one of the first places it goes after it leaves Jerusalem and Judea is to Syria, Antioch. Assyria of old, Damascus. Where 8 shepherds or 7 shepherds and 8 princes, in other words, a fullness of people go out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who is like God? Who could accomplish such a result? He shall be their peace. Because look at the world we live in. In the midst of all the politics and hatred and backstabbing and rebellion against God, we live in a world of hatred and rage and outrage filled with angry tweets and vicious name-calling and hateful death threats and backroom bickering and people hating God and people hating people. How could you have shalom? How could you have a place of true security and rest and peace? When the angels accompanied Jesus' birth with praises, remember they declared 2 things about him. He would bring glory to God in the highest, and he would bring peace on earth to men. And that's exactly what he did and he does. Peace on earth. Shalom on earth. The Bible says that through his blood, Jesus established peace, a 2-layered peace. Peace with God, for Jesus has taken our sin out of the way. He's removed God's anger and judgment and punishment from my life and reconciled me to God through his death, through his punishment in my place. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Shalom. Do you know that peace? Go to the manger. Go to the cross. It's in Jesus. And peace with one another. Through his blood, Ephesians 2 says, he also makes one community out of Jews and Gentiles, people that hate each other. He makes them one body so that we love one another and become Christ's new society on earth, showing the way of peace in a world of hostility and hatred and enmity. This is impossible. Israel itself, the people of God, were living a life of hating one another, let alone the Gentiles who didn't know God. This is impossible. Peace. How unlikely. Who is like God? Only he, through his son, can bring peace to a bitter, vicious, violent, proud, rebellious, unforgiving, callous world. Who is like God? And today the Lord calls you to find your life in peace in this person whose origin is from eternity and is also born in Bethlehem. Come out of your misery and death, brothers and sisters. Come out of your callousness and indifference. Come out of your heart's bitterness, resentment. Come to life and love and health and joy, which are so unlikely and impossible. And yet, who is like God? He gives that to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years and you still struggle with being assured that you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you still struggle with feelings of resentment against brothers and sisters and bitterness. Come to the same place. He himself is your peace. Peace with God, peace with one another. People are looking for peace in government today, in talent, in marriage, in alternate lifestyles, in marijuana, in revenge, in suicide, in career, in that nice new home, in getting rich, in a new relationship. But there's no peace and safety there that will last and go to the depth and the extent of your life. That only leads to deeper unrest and bitterness and emptiness if you rest there. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is eternal life and blessing and shalom and security for each one now, so you can live and die in peace. And after this life, it reaches its climax, its maximum, when the wolf dwells with the lion. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we praise you for what you did with that little plot of ground, Bethlehem Ephrathah, in history. Coming down yourself and your son and being born there
giving to us a ruler and a shepherd so that we can live in safety and security and shalom eternally and to the ends of the earth. What good news! Who is like our God to accomplish such hope? There is no one. You alone could accomplish such a miracle, and you have. We praise you. We come to you, and we tell that good news to a needy world lost in the hatred of God and neighbor. Use us, Lord, to bring that good news and to bring many others to the ends of the earth into your glorious kingdom of peace. Amen.